take a seat. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back. I've spent the last month in Australia, and I've had my breakfast outside almost every day. So it's a bit of a shock coming back to this. Lovely as it is, I have stories of spiders, snakes, lizards, and a lovely little granddaughter. But enough of that. Let's look at the Word of God. Let's look at Psalm 8. Just before we do, I'll pray. So let's pray. Oh, Father God, you're so good to us in so many ways. Ways in which we often do not appreciate. We ask, Father, that as we look at this wonderful psalm, that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to know who we are in Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you're enjoying our season in Psalms. I hope it's helped you to find out what your favourite psalm is. Well, our introduction to Psalm 8 is, can you see it? It's on page 542 in your church Bibles, if you'd like to turn it up. It says, to the leader, according to the Gittith, a psalm of David. That's the context. It's a psalm of David. It's a song. And what is this according to the Gittith? Well, truth be told, no one is really that sure. It may be a musical instrument. Or it may be that this is a special song to be sung at a special celebration. Like harvest, the Gittith. It's a majestic and great song and showing the graciousness of the Lord as he's proclaimed. And this psalm does it, doesn't it? I guess that if I were to ask what is your favourite psalm, I reckon there'd be a good smattering that would say, yep, Psalm 8's mine. And it's easy to see why, isn't it? And what David does is he wraps up his psalm. A bit like a wonderful packaged present, which is a kind of prelude, if you like, to what's inside. And the packaging, well, it's at the top and the bottom of the psalm, verses 1 and verse 9. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What a package. And the contents? Well, have you ever been out in the countryside on a clear night? The amazing starry heavens. It blows your mind, doesn't it? Even those who have no inkling of faith in our wonderful God, even they stand in awe with jaws dropped. It's a wonderful sight, isn't it? And this is what Alec says in his devotional book on Psalms. He says, Psalm 8 is a worshipful meditation on the night sky. So let's take a look. Verse 1. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Do you know, this is unashamedly un-PC. The God of the Bible, he's sovereign. He's not a God who set up the world like a clock, wound it up, and left it running away on its own. No, he's sovereign. He's active. He's involved. He's maintaining. He's controlling. He's interested. He's God. And that's what you'd expect a sovereign God to be doing, isn't it? This is who he is. And he's a God for all people. Not one of many who we can choose in some kind of religious pick and mix at Woolies, because they all can't be valid. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name, where? In all the earth. For everyone, all the earth. And verse 2, you've set your glory above the heavens. His glory is far and away greater and above even those jaw-dropping starry skies. And David proclaims that in this song. The only name to be honoured is the God of Israel. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He made all that is, everything. And he made us too, you and me. And I don't know about you, but it's really difficult, isn't it? When we get into conversations and discussions about God and our belief and trust in him. And how we wish we were more eloquent, more learned, more articulate in trying to deal with their criticisms and their dismissals of belief in God. Do you really believe that in the 21st century? Come on. And they're arrogant in their self-assertion. And we stumble. We're unable to find the words. But what is it that silences those cynics? What silences the critics? What puts an end to cleverness? Verse 2. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. So not the strong. Not the strong and powerful. Not intellectualism or great answers. It's out of the mouths of babes, those who are weak and vulnerable, who praise God. That's what silences these voices. It's they, the babes, in a sense, that hold the position of strength, not weakness. Not the so-called clever arguments. And I remember the privilege of visiting a lady who was housebound in bed, near blind, not long to go. And she was an amazing Christian woman. She was weak. She was helpless. She was totally reliant on others. But you know what? Her faith in Jesus shone like a searchlight. And it had a profound effect on me. That's what slaps the agnostic or the cynic between the eyes. When they come face to face with that kind of strength in the so-called weak. And it ends all arguments, doesn't it? And those cynics are running into a bulwark, a concrete wall. Out of the mouths of babes and infants you've founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. And as David gazes up at those myriad stars in the night sky, he's utterly mesmerized. The Milky Way is our galaxy, which contains our own solar system, with over 200 billion stars. And to travel across it would take 100,000 years, travelling at the speed of light. The Hubble telescope's ultra-deep field has revealed that the observable universe contains about 200 billion galaxies. Do you feel small? So did David. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings? Literally, what is man? The human race. That you are mindful of them. Mortals, literally, the son of man. That you care for them. Why should God bother with you? Why should God bother with me? The world says, in view of man's littleness and minuteness in the universe and seeming insignificance, that it's totally ridiculous to believe in a God who centres his interests on this tiny, insignificant dot in space. That it's really us, human beings, who control our destiny. We have that ability. Not so, says Psalm 8. God has fashioned this amazing universe and placed us in it, and he knows us. He's focused his attention on human beings precisely because he's created us, even though we are frail, small, and seemingly insignificant. And that's acknowledged by David's, "What is man?" And we're told, aren't we, that the world, that in the world we're nothing, that it's a hard, cold, chaotic universe, just chance coming together of atoms. We're nothing, really. As the Humanist Manifesto says, humanists still believe, it's interesting, isn't it, believe, so it's a position of faith. Humanists still believe that a prayer-hearing God assumed love and care for persons to hear and understand their prayers and to be able to do something about them is an unproved and outmoded faith. We can discover no divine purpose or providence for the human species. It's depressing, that, isn't it? You're on your own. No purpose, no reason, no point. Well, the Bible absolutely refutes that notion of humanity and God. Because to the Almighty, you are significant. You're known. You're loved by him. And isn't that what many in our society crave and need today? To hear that they're important, valued, significant, but they feel the reverse because of life experience or rejection by those who should love them, or by listening to that secular humanist stuff. God tells us we're loved and valued. Why? Because he made us. Little, yes, verse 4. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them, but also great, verse 5. You have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honour. Great, because God planned that human beings be placed in this great setting, the earth, to be in relationship with him. And then it's he who appointed us to rule over the earth. So glory and honour are attributes of God's kingship, which he's extended to man's royal status. Humans are significant, important, different from animals, made by God, given honour and glory by him. And we know that, don't we? We know human beings are important, but we seem to have forgotten why human beings are important in our secular society. If we are animals without a point or a purpose or reason, surely the lengths to which we go to protect and save and support life doesn't make sense, does it? This is the reason for the sanctity of life and the dignity of man. Made in the image and likeness of God, as Genesis chapter 1 puts it. Not beast and not divine. Higher than beasts, lower than God. And we see this ultimately in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God who was man, who participated fully in our humanity. He is crowned with glory and honour, Hebrews tells us, because of how he responded to the Father. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. He suffered death for us. And in his obedience to the Father received greater glory and authority. And when you think about it, of all that's created, it's only human beings, not animals, that can even ask the question of verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? And it's only the man who is redeemed by God, the person who is redeemed by God, who can grasp the answer to it. Jesus came because he loves us, died our death, rose from death, and he's ascended to that higher place for us. And he did that for you and me, because you and I are loved beyond measure by this God. In verses 6 and 8, you've given them dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. And we have to say, don't we, that we don't see human beings ruling. And where they do, it's pretty poor. We see other things ruling, like dictators and greed, disease and the like. Not everything under human beings' feet at all. But what we do see is Jesus, the Messiah, already crowned with glory and honour at the right hand of the Father and now reigning on the King's throne over all creation, and will eventually subject all things, even his enemies, under his feet. So we see Jesus. What a wonderful psalm this is. God's wonderful majesty and human beings' dignity. No wonder it's a favourite. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.